Good day and welcome to the Westmount College conference call. Today's call is being recorded. Please be advised that your line will be muted throughout the duration of today's call. If at any time you have any questions from today's presentation, please email all questions to questions@westmount.edu. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to President Galen Beebe. Please go ahead. Thank you.
Caroline, thank you very much. It's wonderful to be with you tonight. Thank you for joining us. I want to start by recapping just some of the great events over the weekend that honored our seniors. Seniors, you should have received a gift box from Alumni Relations that was meant to be an opportunity to really honor and celebrate you. I personally loved the video messages from the Golden Warriors. The heartfelt celebration 50 years down the road, reminding us everything that's gone on in their lifetime, and in fact had happened during their 4 years of college, was very memorable, and really just an encouragement to persevere in the face of just some real setback. And then I hope you enjoyed, as I did, the concert with Phil Wickham and Lecrae. It was just a marvelous opportunity to hear two great Christian artists. Last summer, I had the privilege of meeting Lecrae. He's been on campus before, but we were at an event in Northern California and have a mutual friend. It was just wonderful to see him and also Phil and their messages to us, and specifically to the seniors, just really heartwarming. If you missed the concert, it's been reposted to our website, and so you can go online and listen to it, and it's both a message of inspiration and some great, great music. And then we want to thank the great Instagram posts of the students celebrating May 2nd with family and friends. Just keep those coming. It's really been fun for us to get welcomed into your celebration with your family and friends. And then we've established a special web page. We'll be gathering the highlights, the photos, the repost of the concert, and more. And so this should be posted sometime after Wednesday, and the email will be going out to announce that to you. Some of you continue to ask, are we going to have a commencement ceremony? And we still totally plan to do that. Some of you have plans. You're wondering, you know, is it going to happen this summer? Is it going to happen in the fall? Really, we will have to wait to see what the governor allows. We're still at the stay-at-home order that doesn't permit any gatherings of 10 or more. Obviously, we anticipate that that will be lifted. I know some of you are actually in situations where it's seniority-based vacation, and you have to put in weeks, if not months, in advance. And so if you're in one of those situations, if we're not able to do it this summer, we're very much inclined to do it the weekend of October 16, 17, and 18. That's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And if I was in a situation where I had to do seniority-based requests, that would be the time I would target. I do want to remind the graduating seniors that we really do intend to honor you, done everything that we can to honor you with the time and bandwidth that we've been allowed, and we really look forward to the opportunity to celebrate you. If you're California-based or just following our politics, you know that the governor extended the stay-at-home order through May. He just announced yesterday that he probably will begin to lift some of the restrictions the last week of May, and we're actually hopeful. We obviously are going to continue to practice all of the social distancing guidelines, wearing masks in public, et cetera, and those will be critical as we try to open up the activities a little more, but also keep the infection rate to a minimum. Some of you have asked about the students who remained on campus, and then we've recently had to help them move to other arrangements. It was very easy to have them on campus because they were in the facilities that they'd been in all year. Once we shifted, we needed to move most of the students into other accommodations, including the international students who were not able to go home, have been moved down to Ocean View. We again, are just trying to manage this as best we can. Most have moved out. We still have a few that need to get back and make arrangements to get back into their room, but for all intents and purposes, the campus is now closed, and or closed in terms of anyone living on campus, and we need those of you who still have your belongings here to get back. What are the fall plans to open campus? We fully intend to open campus with orientation on August 27th. That's what we're planning for. That's what we're pushing towards. Tonight marks the celebration of the end of spring semester. We really needed to get to this mark to wrap up the normal year, the regular year, and then begin the pivot of preparation for the opening in the fall. As you know, we've moved May term completely online. We have a record number of students. The highest number of students in many, many years, it may be all-time high. You can still register for an online class through this week, but of course it's an accelerated schedule, and so you're already behind, but we have loved the responsiveness to that. The classes will open on August 31. And tonight will be the call for this month, and then our next call will be Tuesday, June 2nd. And on June 2nd, we plan to begin talking about what our plans are for opening for the regular semester this fall. And we really want to spend the next 3 weeks in fairly intense planning and scrutinizing those plans so that we can begin to really get a bearing on what we'll need in terms of equipment and resources to be open at the end of August. There's some questions here about delays, whatnot. All of that, we are not planning to delay. Again, if the governor continues to open up the state, which looks highly likely, we're going to have to be extremely disciplined, and our ability to open will be both having a plan in place and the personnel and the willingness to abide by the plan. And it's going to call for our best effort. I really believe, given all the reports that are coming in, that we could have a really stringent fall in the sense that we are going to have to toe the line on every front. But if it's true that we get a vaccine in early January or even early in the winter, that will be a tremendous help. And if it's pervasive, if it's available, we intend to provide a vaccination so that students can get vaccinated if you're not able to get it at home. Our goal is to stay safe until we know that there's a vaccination that will make us immune to the COVID virus. A variety of social distancing scenarios are asked for. Residential living, this is obviously something we're going to be working on. Classroom settings, chapel, all of these are things that we have frameworks in place, but we need to get into some specificity. Those are all predicated on us having in place the proper plans and the proper protocols so that we can repopulate the campus. The dining commons, athletic practices and events, those also will follow the same guidelines. Dining commons, obviously we're going to have to not shelter in place, but social distance. And then athletic practices, this is going to be whatever happens in the fall will be determined by government officials and by national sports organizations. We're part of NAIA. They'll have a voice in this. The GSAC, our conference, the Golden State Athletic Conference, will have a voice in this. But I would wager that the group that will actually set the tone and the expectation will be the professional leagues. So if you're a soccer player, what is MLS doing? If you're a cross-country runner, what is the highest U.S. Track and Field Association? What are they saying? If you're volleyball, it's going to be the volleyball associations. It's all going to be predicated on can we compete safely and be in an environment. And until we can do that, we'll really be under restriction. Now, this comes later, but let me just say it now because this question has been asked multiple times. If you're an athlete on an athletic scholarship and your team doesn't compete, nothing is going to happen to your scholarship. Your scholarship will stay fully in force. And so I don't want you worried about that, wondering, you know, because of no circumstance that you can control, are you going to lose your athletic scholarship? Absolutely not. Grant reimbursements, I'm going to come to those here momentarily. Area updates. The academics May term began yesterday and is off to a great start. We have nearly 300 students for May term. Of course, it's all happening virtually. And so, again, you have this week to sign up, and then that closes. But delighted to see students taking advantage of that. As of close of business last Friday, we had 891 students returning for the fall, and we're anticipating a significant class. We're showing great results. And so we're going to bump into some of the challenges that we face with the unique guidelines of our conditional use permit. This is going to really prompt our best innovation. I'm thankful for the resources we have in the community that will help with this. And we'll have an opportunity to tell you more about that as we get closer to opening in August. Financial aid and student accounts. Apparently, we're having a high volume of calls and questions. Again, we want to thank you for your patience. Please continue to call the switchboard. The number is 805-565-6000. Again, that's 805-565-6000. Wait for the prompt and then ask for the financial aid office. They are just swamped with calls, so we do need your patience, but continue to persist because we want to get you to an answer. Student life, all the usual processes for housing requests, housing and requests to live off campus are in process. That also includes parking permits. Housing assignments for continuing students are happening this month. The parking request process will open May 15th. Again, look for information from the housing office or visit the housing or parking webpage for more information. Now, before I turn to the questions, let me give you an overview of the grant process. The grants require, they don't require, but the FAFSA, filling out the FAFSA is the easiest way for us to determine need. And part of the reimbursement grants are predicated on need. Not all of them, but part of them are. And so that's been a critical ingredient. What we've had to do is go through and determine what percentage of your education is covered by your resources, what percentage of your education is covered by school resources. And so that those factors have influenced the way in which each reimbursement check or grant has been determined. Some of you have asked, can you just apply it to your bill? Can you do it in a variety of ways? The government is requiring that we write you a check, and so we're going to write reimbursement grant checks that are sent to the address that we have on file for you. And if that's the Accredit address, these checks should begin arriving sometime between May 15th and May 20th. And if we don't have your accurate home address, please get that to us right away. What are some of the factors that we're going to have to weigh? Obviously, if you're on an off-campus program run by a completely different institution, you're going to need to work with those institutions. Students who stayed on campus and continued to eat in the D.C., those obviously are not students that will receive any kind of reimbursement grant. Then students, we have some students who are here under special circumstances. Some are international students. Those are not eligible for a grant and actually have had their all of their expenses covered anyway. But the federal government requires you to be eligible for Title IV federal financial aid. You don't have to have filed the FAFSA to be qualified, but you have to be eligible to file the FAFSA. You're going to have demonstrated need. It's going to matter what kinds of grants you've received. It's also going to, in terms of demonstrating need, what are the elements that have gone into determining your cost to attend Westmont? Other things, some of you have received personal grants. Others of you are athletics, Augustinian, music, presidential, Michael House, Bridge to Rwanda, Urban Leadership Initiative, etc. In each case, those will influence what percentage is calculated in terms of your qualification for a reimbursement grant. Work study. If you're a work study student, you know that you were paid whether or not you did the work. This is just going to come to you free and clear. This isn't going to be anything other than us trying to help you during a time of acute need. Many of you were not on the meal plan, and so obviously any of the rebate that came back from Sodexo won't be something that's added to your rebate. This is still, despite the help that this will bring, we recognize that some of you are still going to be in need. And so the financial aid office will be posting to the website a supplemental grant request form, and we really encourage you to avail yourself of that. That will help us know what your need is, and it will give us more specificity in targeting our response. As we look to the fall, there's just so many variables in play, and we hope to be able to resolve the reimbursement grant situation before the end of May. And so if you have questions, please direct them back to us after you receive your check. The questions that have come in, okay, number one, will May-term students be offered the same option to take courses pass, no pass, due to the online nature of the classes? Mark Sargent, our provost, is here and has commented that you really need to check with each of the faculty members and in communicating with the faculty members, indicate your desire early on. What we really encourage, though, is if it's a class that you're actually doing well in, go ahead and take it for a grade, but work that out with your faculty member, and it should be very straightforward. If you run into any problems, again, just contact us, send us an email. Number two, what will the dorm situation look like? Will triples still be available, or will everyone be in doubles or singles? Again, we are working to get all these plans determined. It's going to be complex. And the complexity is around what the government requires in terms of social distancing, even when we're in our dorm rooms. And we have to figure out the model for this. I anticipate by June 2nd being able to give you better information, probably not complete information. But we're looking at a variety of things. And until we actually have more definition to that, it's just better if I not say more. But I think this will be a very great opportunity for some real innovation that solves a very real problem. Will the soccer team be coming to campus in August to start training together? God willing, we hope that you are able to come. This again will be determined by government officials, not by us. Are the NAI sports talking about when soccer will begin and are match dates being set? I know your schedule has been set, but this is vulnerable to, again, if there's a delay, we're going to just push the season back. Now, I grew up in Western Oregon where it rains all the time, starting around the 1st of October and usually running through Easter. And so nobody played soccer in the winter. A shocker for me when we moved to Southern California 1990 was soccer season overlapped with winter. And we have a huge advantage in that we live in such a mild climate. In Santa Barbara, it rains maybe 3 weeks out of the year on a regular basis. So we have a lot of latitude being in a Southern California-based athletic conference, and that will be to our advantage. How is 2020-2021 student registration coming along? It's coming along great. And as you know, we have a conditional use permit, and I would just encourage you, if you're on the bubble, I would encourage you to go ahead and register, even if you're not sure about your plans, because you want to have a place, because we know we're going to have to be innovative with how we manage ourselves relative to our conditional use permit cap. What additional health resources will be available in the event a student begins to feel ill with flu-like or COVID-19-like symptoms? I recall seeing a wellness center on campus during a campus tour, but wondered what additional precautions will be put in place. We have a great doctor, Dr. David Hernandez, an MD. He'll be spearheading all of our health requirements. And the we're going to have facilities to help quarantine. We've got to be able to provide students with an option when they're feeling under the weather but not yet running a fever, how they can self-select to view class remotely. We're going to be working through all of these plans really in the coming weeks. We'll have an update on June 2nd and hopefully a more definitive plan by the 1st of July. But everything is going to be done in conversation with the best knowledge available, the health experts. The two websites that I'm following are the CDC and the Johns Hopkins University Public Health website. Both of them are excellent, give good guidelines on a national basis. Our governor is following national guidelines in terms of what he's imposing on a state basis. And frankly, California is, despite our challenges, is incredibly impressive in how a state our size is staying way ahead of the curve in terms of its management of this crisis. And then, will funds remaining on the students' Richie's accounts be credited back to them? This is something that's kind of a wash with Sodexo. Sodexo is making available some rebate, and it's obviously it's a modest amount, and so we'll be rolling forward just on your account monies that can be used just during fall semester that are residual from whatever was left over. This is not going to be a lot of money, and it's not going to be credited in any other way other than having an opportunity to use some of it at Richie's. So that's the way that will be handled. Okay, are there other questions that have come in? Will RAs and student leaders move in early and go on training retreats? We will definitely need RAs and student leaders here. We actually aren't sure what all their responsibilities will entail, because we're going to need them on the front lines. This is going to be a very dynamic year. We don't know if the retreats will, one, be allowed to be viable. And so this is something that Edie and her team will have to really think through and prepare for. But it's going to, all human resources are going to be really serving in a variety of capacities beyond what they thought. Edie, do you want to amplify that?
Well, as Dr. Beebe has been saying, we're going to be working on the plans and the specificity of the plans for students to return to campus. At this point, we don't have enough detail to say anything like dates, but since we're planning on being open in the fall, we will need all our student leaders and all our RAs to be ready and available to come back. So you'll hear more about that as the next weeks unfold. And as Dr. Beebe said, on June 2nd, we'll have a better idea, not complete plans probably at that point, but certainly more to share.
Thank you, Edie. Okay, here's a question, a great question from a parent. My son graduated last week, and my question is in regards to the housing deposit that we put down to reserve a housing spot when our student first elected to attend Westmont. I might add, a great move, put down your housing deposit. We have been told by some students that the refunds must be requested. Please advise what, if any, steps we need to take.
The refunds must be requested.
Okay.
So if you contact housing@westmont.edu, you'll be taken care of. That's a typical process.
Okay. Thank you, Edie. Will our merit or talent scholarships continue if we meet renewing criteria? Yeah, in fact, Doug, didn't we say that your grades from spring semester will have no bearing on your merit-based scholarship? We're continuing them for next year as part of our response to COVID. We realize this has just been a semester unlike any other, and we don't anticipate that anyone had an easy semester. So we want to lower your threshold of anxiety around your merit scholarships, but they'll be fully kept intact, and talent. talent scholarships. That, do you want to, okay. What will our scholarships look like for fall? I think this is fairly close to, if our situation hasn't changed and we filed FAFSA on time, is that what we can expect? Doug, do you want to say anything about FAFSA?
Well, you know, the FAFSA would have been based on financial information from 2 years ago. So that will be what your financial aid will be based upon. And then if your situation has changed dramatically, you'll certainly want to contact the financial aid office at financialaid@westmont.edu, and they'll be happy to assist you in that.
All right. Thanks, Doug. Okay. I'm getting the all clear signal. I think that's taken us to the end of our questions. Here are two ways to contact us, the number 805-565-6000, and again, just wait for the prompt to get to a live voice, and then if you have questions, email them to us at questions@westmont.edu. And before we sign off, I'd like to pray. Are there any other comments from around the table that we need to add? All right. It's great to be together tonight. Let me close our time in prayer. Lord, thank you for this time and the opportunity to think together about this wonderful year that's just been completed with such complications, and then just the year that we anticipate that lies ahead. Guide us in this summer as we plan. Help us to have the best information, the strongest sense of purpose, and great determination as we prepare to open this fall. Thank you for the time we've had tonight, and we just pray your blessing on us. Christ, I pray. Amen. Okay, I hope you'll join us on June 2nd. Stay tuned for that email. We will move the start time up to 5:15, but look forward to being back with you on June 2nd. Thank you, and God be with you.
This concludes today's call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.